From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Intention and Mind Power. Here's what's happening. The southern part of the San Andreas Fault is locked, loaded, ready to roll, according to Thomas Jordan, the director of the Southern California Earthquake Center. Oh, boy. Jordan issued his warning during a keynote speech at the National Earthquake Conference in Long Beach, California. He said the pressure's been building on that part of the fault without being relieved for more than 100 years. And parts of the southeast of the San Andreas Fault haven't moved since about 1680. The San Andreas Fault runs along the entire length of California. It's close to 800 miles, but is the section close to Los Angeles that concerns scientists the most. About 100 products are being recalled because their sunflower seed ingredient may be contaminated with listeria, which causes that potentially deadly infection, listeria. Among the snacks affected are protein bars, trail mixes, trail mix bars sold at Walmart, Publix, Great Value, Roundy, Meijer, Hy-Vee, and other retailers. And food safety news reports, affected brands include Kroger, Market District, Dakota's Best Biggies, and Planters. Trader Joe's has also announced it's recalling nearly 34 pounds of its packaged broccoli slaw and kale salad with white chicken meat, sunflower seeds, cranberries, because it is possibly contaminated with these sunflower seeds. I do these stories, by the way, because one of you could have one of these things, and I don't want you to get sick. House Speaker Paul Ryan, in a television interview on CNN, said that he's not yet ready to support or endorse Donald Trump, marking the latest flare-up with the party as the presumptive Republican nominee quickly finds himself engaged in a two-front battle on the road to November. I mean, they're coming out of the woodwork. So let's check in with Howard Bloom, the expert on life. What are they doing to Donald Trump, Howard?
Well, the real deal is that we may be watching the Putinization, not just of American politics, but of global politics through Donald Trump. In other words, Donald Trump is the tough guy. He's the bully. Americans are tired of having an apologizer in chief. They're tired of somebody apologizing for the missteps of the George Bush administration, and they're going for somebody who they feel can bully and bluster and gain respect in the world. But we're not the only ones. The Philippines right now have a really big problem. The Chinese have seized control of the South China Sea and are keeping the Philippines out of their traditional fishing grounds, the shoals. And the Chinese ships instead are going in surrounded by small armadas of armed Coast Guard ships. So the Philippines are going through an election. What do they want to nominate? Who's the leading candidate? A tough guy, a guy who could, who they feel might be able to duke it out with the Chinese. In Turkey, and this just happened a few hours ago, in Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan is the head of the country.
He's going to step down, right?
He's going for a one-man dictatorship. He's been pushing a program for the last 2 years of a constitution that makes him basically dictator for life, like Putin. And he ran into opposition from his prime minister, and his prime minister today stepped down.
He's the one who stepped down.
Yes, he's the one who stepped down, which means that all the marbles are now in Tayyip Erdogan's hands. In North Korea, of course, there's Kim Jong-un, and what do we expect from him but dictatorship? But what we don't know about him is, aside from the fact that he's about to explode his fifth nuclear bomb, he's also building a nuclear-capable, ballistic-capable, ballistic missile-capable submarines that, presumably, because nobody's reported on the range of these things, but presumably they are aimed at the United States, because he has said unequivocally that his only target for his nuclear weapons is the United States. And then, of course, there's al-Sisi in Egypt, who actually is a relief, despite his dictatorial nature, from the Muslim Brotherhood. And Libya could certainly use a Putin of its own. But the real leader right now, George, is this. There is a real leader who can lift the spirits of America. America's in a multipolar battle for who will lead the world over the course of the next 20 years. And the Chinese are trying their best to step into that position. And there's one man, and the American spirits have been very low. We've been, as thanks to our eco-nihilists, we've been looking down for a long time and not looking up. Well, there's one guy who's changing that. He's not in the government. His name is Elon Musk. He announced last week that he's going to, by 2018, he's going to put a Dragon capsule on Mars, the heaviest capsule that's ever been put on Mars, with the heaviest object that's ever been put on Mars, with a cargo capacity equal to every single lander and rover that we have ever put on Mars. So if anybody's going to lift our spirits out of the mire, it isn't Vladimir Putin, it isn't Donald Trump, it isn't Hillary Clinton, it's Elon Musk.
All right, the world according to Howard Bloom. Thanks, Howard. The U.S. government has unveiled new federal rules that include a ban on the sale of e-cigarettes to people aged under 18. The FDA will also require manufacturers to submit products to the agency for review. Cigars, pipe tobacco, hookah tobacco are also subject to the new rules there. Does prayer have the power to help recovering alcoholics squash temptation? A small new study finds that at least among the 20 long-term Alcoholics Anonymous members who reported no cravings in the week leading up to the test, prayer reduced cravings that arose when shown images of alcoholic drinks or people drinking. Prayer works. There's a person who doesn't have to pray because the gods come to him in the sky. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Hey, Peter, what do we got?
Oh, boy. It's so fun to follow Howard Bloom, George, because I suspect most of the Coast listeners think aliens are strange, but I listen to Howard Bloom's report. There's nothing stranger than the human organism in this galaxy, I think. It's going to be a short report. I didn't manage to post all of these reports that I'm going to be talking about, but they are nevertheless very good reports. First report of the month of May comes from Camrose, Canada, up in Alberta.
And they got a lot of smoke up that way, too.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason I thought I would mention this. I have no reason to believe it has anything to do with the fires up there, but very interesting report nevertheless. An anonymous source, unfortunately we don't have contact information for him or her, reports that Sunday morning, the 1st of May, about 1 a.m. local time, he saw three of what he first thought were shooting stars streaking across the sky. But the interesting thing is their illumination, their luminosity did not change, and their position relative to one another did not change. They covered almost the entire sky, this witness reports, in about 5 seconds or so. Very unusual sighting. 2 days later, then, this is a good one, George. This is a very good one because I talked at length with this source, a gentleman who's a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, a lot of experience in the military service. On Tuesday of this week, at about noon precisely, it was high noon, he said, he saw six tiny disks maneuvering over Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. Very, very interesting report, and I deem this guy to be a very, very capable witness. Very interesting report. Less than 6 hours later, a very unsettling report of three intensely bright lights seen hovering over a farmer's house, his farmhouse. I haven't talked to the witness yet. I might follow up on this one at a future report. And last report, this is a very interesting one, George, and I mention this because I've had a number of similar reports over the past. I haven't talked about them because they're so bizarre, but a federal employee today, 2 p.m., in Woodbury, Minnesota, saw what he estimates to have been 30 rectangular shadows projected on the ground, just streaking across the ground, went over a nearby building. He could see them go up the roof, have no idea what they were. He looked up. It was a clear blue sky in Woodbury, nothing visible, no sound, no nothing. Have no idea what it was. Anyway, things are still popping in the skies above our planet, and
keep your eyes on them for us.
Will indeed, George.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Website ufocenter.com. Up next, Rick McCallum joins us from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Boy, do we have things to talk about with Rick next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. And we thought we'd give you a night of unusual and strange and paranormal. Kind of get your minds off what's going on politically and around this country tonight. Rick McCallum has been a stuntman and stunt coordinator for more than 25 years. He has played Dark Wolf in the movie of the same name, as well as the monster in Deep Star 6. Rick has been a stunt double in Hollywood, and Rick and Kane Hodder, that's Jason from Friday the 13th fame, are founders of the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. You may hear me on Fridays with my shout-out, including the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Welcome back to Coast, Rick McCallum. Hey, Rick, welcome back.
Thanks, George.
We're going to have some fun because you've got lots going on. We're going to play a couple EVPs later on in the program tonight. We'll take calls from people who love to go ghost hunting. But what's new with you and the guys?
Well, we've been doing a lot of movies. We were in Australia about a year ago where we were there for like 5 to 6 weeks. We were in North Carolina doing a movie called Checkpoint. And Kane has been working on a documentary about his life. And, you know, I've known Kane as long as anybody and probably know him as well as anybody except for his family. And I cannot wait to see his documentary. I mean, there's so many things that have happened to Kane that are incredible. I mean, anybody that's interested, it's KaneHodderMovie.com, and you can see exactly what it's about.
You folks have a new venture. You have the Hollywood Ghost Hunters magazine out. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've always wanted to do a magazine, and in some ways, you're sort of responsible.
I did it? Uh-oh.
Yeah. Years ago, R.A. Mihailov, who played Leatherface, and I were on your show on the Queen Mary for Halloween.
That's right.
And I met Stanton Friedman in the back room, who is a fascinating man. And we went and we did a paranormal conference in Minnesota, and Stanton was there. So I would go over and chat with him every once in a while. And the last day, I went in to charge my phone in the restaurant, and Chris Rutkowski came up, who's from Canada, a big UFO researcher up there, came over and asked me to come and sit and have dinner with him in Stanton. And, I mean, I had the best dinner of my life. Like 2 hours we sat and chatted about everything UFO.
He's great.
And I thought to myself, I said, you know, these guys are not like what I thought they were. They're so much more personable. There's so much depth to them that I would love to interview people and let other people see what people are really like.
And hence the magazine.
Magazine came from that, so you're partly responsible, George.
Well, perfect, perfect. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that magazine in a moment because you've got a dedicated website to it, too. And people who are into the genre are going to love what you folks are doing out there. So since we really last talked, Rick, I mean really last talked, when you were interviewed on Halloween with me, are you seeing a change in Hollywood's perception of the paranormal with some of these reality shows? What's happening?
Yes, and I think it's you know, the yin and yang of both. I think there are some people that before would never have said anything about, you know, the paranormal that are much more willing to come out, you know, and say that they've had an experience. You know, you see all the time about different celebrities, Allison Hannigan, H. Fraley, Nicolas Cage, Matthew McConaughey have all had, you know, ghostly encounters. You might not have seen that years ago, but with the, you know, the oncoming of all the paranormal shows on TV, I think people are a lot more likely to come out. But I think also some of the paranormal shows on TV don't really show ghost hunting in its best light.
No, they really don't. And one of the problems too, Rick, as you know, ghost hunting is a very dedicated, tough thing to do. And you don't get, you know, ghostly apparitions every second you're doing it. When you're doing a reality show, they've got to put some hype into it. They've got to do something that's exciting, don't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We are fortunate enough to be on Ghost Adventures. And Kane and I are very skeptical of people, not in a bad way, but we always want to make sure if our name is involved that everything's being done right. And I can say for those guys that there was no tomfoolery of any kind because we watched. And I think, you know, they're a very good show because they're personality driven and they do find things. But when they don't find things, they don't try to pretend they did. And I think that's pretty much the way a ghost hunting show should be.
I think so, too. I think so, too. How'd you get involved in all this?
You know, it's funny. My very first time
I was 13, and my grandfather had passed away. And my mother and I took a train trip down to Paducah, Kentucky, where he was going to be buried. And when we got there, there was only one hotel, you know, by where we were at. We went in there, and the guy said, we only have one room, and it's haunted. Now I'm 13, and I'm like, this is Christmas for me, you know. Wow, haunted room. And we went in, and the rooms were probably 20 feet wide, and they had wooden floors, and the beds were on opposite sides of the room. And in the middle of the night, I hear my mom start screaming, and I look up, and her bed is just flying across the floor towards me. My bed is flying across the floor towards her, and we smashed together in the middle. You know, the beds were on rollers, I mean, so they could be moved around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'd been there for hours. I mean, they didn't make a budge, and all of a sudden, both of them just boom into the middle. And I told us before we went up there, this was haunted. So that really got my interest going.
When you've been doing a lot of work as a stunt person in Hollywood, have you ever come across something very strange that happened to you while you were being a stunt person?
You know, it's funny. Not exactly, but I have ghost hunted at some of the locations we've been at, and things have happened. And I mean,
where do you have the time?
Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, on movies, there's, you know, when you're the stunt guy, you're usually the last guy up. So you're just kind of sitting around. I mean, when we went to Mansfield, Kane and I, it was 3 a.m. when we first saw Shadow Man. That's when we both decided we wanted to start a group.
Uh-huh.
And that was after filming. So, you know, you do have different times when you can get out there. And yeah, a lot of weird things happen on location. When we did Dark Wolf, we were down at this one studio, and everybody said, well, this place is haunted, and this place is haunted. And a bunch of people went upstairs to ghost hunt, and it had one of those big, heavy metal sliding doors, and it slammed shut on them, and they ran over, and they couldn't open it. And, I mean, to slide this door, I mean, you needed, you know, a pretty good pull to get this thing to pull closed, and it just slammed totally shut. We could hear them yelling upstairs, so Kane and I went up there and shoved the door open for them to get them out. But, yeah, things do happen sometimes on the set.
Have you ever been hurt on the set?
As far as doing stunts, yeah, actually I have.
You have? What happened?
Yeah. One of them, I was doing a movie called Project Metal Beast. And in this movie, Kane played a 7-foot hybrid person.
And he's werewolf. About 7 feet anyway.
Well, he's a big dude. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was doubling Barry Bostwick. And he wanted to have something spectacular where Barry got hit and went up in the air. So we devised the mini tramp about 12 feet from this steel roll down door. And I ran up to it and bounced off of it, and it kicked me back. So I figured, okay, if I hit this hard enough, it'll kick me back. I'll land on my side and I'll be fine. So I get back there and I run as fast as I can. I go bouncing upside down. I go flying through the air backwards, upside down, hit the steel roll down door, and the door went backwards and took all the momentum away.
Oh.
And I went straight down on top of my head on the concrete. And I knew that I was facing the camera, so I spun around, you know, so you couldn't see me when I landed, you know, on the other side, so it still looked like Barry. And Kane walks up to me after that, and he goes, are you okay? Did that hurt? And I said, of course it hurt, you damn fool. I landed on my head on the cement, you know. But he always calls that now the flying upside down, back, flying upside down backwards, hit the wall, land on your head, spin like a top trick.
Do some Hollywood talent, do they do their own stunts, Rick?
Yeah, some do, but it's not the big ones. And a lot of them do the fight scenes, you know, because that's okay.
Yeah.
But the reason that stuntmen actually exist is because if you're doing a big movie and the actor gets hurt, the movie has to shut down.
That's right.
If I get hurt, they can find another guy within an hour that looks like me and have him come in. So, I mean, that's really why you use stuntmen, to protect your actors from getting hurt and to protect the production.
Do you generally have to look like the actor, or do they just take different scenes and shots?
Yeah, you don't have to look that much like them. You have to be physically like them. You know, it's roughly the same size, same build, things like that. Because if they're seeing your face, it's you didn't do it right.
What kind of stunt won't you do?
I'll pretty much do most of them.
Really?
I won't do the super high falls.
Okay, so you don't jump from a bungee thing or anything like that?
Well, you know, the first guy that ever, the bungee jump, the cord broke was a guy named McCullum. So that's true. So I learned my, okay, maybe I shouldn't bungee jump.
That's got to be scary.
Yeah, I'd much rather jump into an airbag.
Yeah, that would be fun.
You know, because I know it's there. Well, I've done that. I mean, that's all fine and good. All you have to do is make sure you hit the bag, and you'll be fine.
Rick, we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to play a couple EVPs that you have for us and have you explain exactly where they were taken. Great stories here. Rick McCallum with us from Hollywood Ghost Hunters, next on Coast to Coast AM. Rick McCallum from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters with us. We're going to get deep into the paranormal with him in a moment. Hey, does he believe in angelic intervention? Let's ask him about that. And we've got a couple EVPs for you to listen to. They're always very strange, aren't they? Welcome back to Coast, Rick McCallum with us. Rick, when we deal with the paranormal, what do you think it is? I mean, why does it exist? Why does it happen? Why do these unusual things go on?
You know, that's a really good question, and that's one of the reasons that I really go ghost hunting, trying to figure that out. I think the general consensus is it's souls that have not crossed over yet, and for whatever reason that is, if they're afraid to cross over, there's other theories that they don't know that they've passed away. All of those things can be it. But, you know, energy doesn't die. I mean, that's known in physics, so, you know, I think it's just souls that, you know, just haven't passed over yet.
Did you ever have any doubts that the other side existed?
Yes, when I was younger, I did. But I've had so many things that have happened to me that I have zero doubt.
That's what changed it for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been so many different things. Like, you know, you spoke earlier about angelic intervention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when that happens to you, your life changes.
No, it sure does in all kinds of ways. Sometimes I've wondered, though, if it's luck or whether there's truly some intervention. And I'm like you, Rick. I've moved more into the I believe category than the I don't.
Yeah. No, I mean, I believe 100%. The thing that happened to me, the angelic intervention, my car got stolen out here, and I got it back. And my dad lived in Tennessee, and he and my stepmother were going to Australia, and they asked me to come back to Tennessee and watch the business in the house for a while. So I drove the car back there, and I was going to sell it. So I decided that being, you know, trying to be a nice guy, I was going to change the oil one night. Now, my dad lived in Brentwood, which is kind of a ritzy neighborhood, and mm-hmm. the houses aren't very close together. And it was later at night, maybe 11:30, 12 o'clock. So I saw that we had 5 quarts of oil, so I grabbed the oil pan, jacked the car up, grabbed the ratchet, got underneath it, put my ratchet on there, and just started to pull. And I heard a voice, not outside, but inside my head. Not like your conscience, but an actual voice.
That inner self voice.
Yeah, and it wasn't my.
But it wasn't you.
This came from somewhere else,
yeah.
And it said, "Let it go." And it startled me, obviously. So I crawled out from under the car and I looked around. I opened up the garage door to look to see if there's anybody outside. There's nobody in the house. So I said, "Okay, you know, I'm just imagining stuff." So I crawl back under there, and I start to pull on it. It's really tight. So I say to myself, "All right, I'm 6'4", 250 pounds. I can get a bolt off." Right?
Yeah.
So I start to give it a good yank, and the same voice, even more insistent, louder, went, "Let it go." So I thought, all right, man, this is too weird. So the 280CX is what I have. It's a very low slung car. And I was on my back, and I started to slide out. And as God is my witness.
Oh, I can see it coming now.
When my head cleared the thing, the car fell off the jack.
Oh.
And it fell so close to me that I actually felt the side of the car go through the top of my hair.
Oh.
Yeah, that caused me to tremble for several hours, you know, knowing how close I'd come to getting killed, because my stepmother, Vandy, and my dad were in Australia, and nobody else would have come to look for me.
You would have been there for days.
If it didn't kill me instantly, yeah.
Oh, my God, Rick. See, this little voice. I think all of us can do this little experiment. Just think thoughts right now. It's you. You can hear your voice, even though there's no sound, in your head. Mm-hmm. And you know it's you. So you are hearing something very distinctive that was not your voice.
No, it definitely was not my voice. And it was something that was very insistent. And, you know, I can't figure out anything else. Then it's got to be a guardian angel. I mean, the way people describe them. Because if I had not listened to the voice, I would be dead right now.
Yeah, I have had a couple episodes like that, too, where a long time ago, I would hear that voice, and I might not have reacted to it or acted on it, But I do now. Now I don't fool around. Now if I really get this intensive feeling of a voice telling me something, I'm going to listen to it, and I'm going to do it. Because 9 out of 10 times, Rick, it's right.
Well, I really believe that myself, because, like, say, after the thing that happened with me, I mean, I had another thing that can only be judged the same. My dad was famous for wearing too much Aramis cologne, and he had passed away, and I was driving back in my 4Runner, and I was on the freeway, and I was in the speed lane, and up right in front of me on in the lane next to me on the right was one of those big double chrome tankers, the stainless steel.
That's right.
With the gas in them.
They look like they're either hauling gasoline or milk, because
yeah,
they're
exactly.
So clean.
Well, yeah. But there was the rows of the cement blocks that run down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to, you know, I was going fast, and I was going to go, you know, between the cement blocks and the thing in the speed lane. And just as I started to go up on the thing, the brakes on my truck locked.
Oh, jeez.
And I was going like 75 miles an hour.
So oh, my God.
It starts to skid, and I'm fighting it, and it still won't, you know, let off the brakes. So I'm trying to not hit anything.
It just locked right up on you.
Yeah, and right then, the tanker truck went from its lane and came flying across the thing to avoid something and hit the cement blocks.
Ugh.
My truck would have been right in the, between those two when it hit. But the weirdest thing was, as soon as the truck cleared, it went past towards the front of me, the brakes let go, and I was able to drive.
Oh, my gosh.
So that wasn't the weirdest part, right? I'm kind of got the hands trembling, thinking, oh, man, that was close. Going down the road, and inside of my truck filled up with the smell of Aramis.
Dad.
So I got to say, that's one for you, Pa.
Yeah, you got that right. I'm going to play a couple of EVPs, Rick. I want you to explain where you were with these. This first one is with you being pushed or somebody being pushed.
Okay, that wouldn't be an EVP. That would be a spirit box.
A spirit box. All right.
Yeah.
Tell us about this. Set it up for us.
Okay, this was down in at the William Heath Davis house down in San Diego, and it's a well-known ghost hunting place. And I was down there with the San Diego Ghost Hunters, which is a group of girls, and a girl that I invited who had contacted me about wanting to ghost hunt on our website. So we were in there, and we were going around, and we were upstairs. The other girls were downstairs, and Brandy Harris, her name is, and I were going. She goes, well, they're doing an EVP session down there, and we didn't want to go in and spoil the recording. So we decided to sit down on the stairs. So she was behind me, sat down, and I was, you know, 3 or 4 steps farther down than her. And it's a good thing I started to sit down because, you know, more of my weight was low. And just as I started to, it felt like somebody put both hands, you know, in the back of my, in my back and shoved. And I caught my balance, and it kept pushing to the point where my head went down almost to my knees. But I was able to keep myself from falling down the stairs. But Brandy started hollering because she saw what happened. And the other girls came out, and they said, what happened? I said, something shoved me, tried to shove me down the stairs. But you can hear what happens on the spirit box after that. It'll be kind of explain itself.
Okay, here we go.
So, George, did you push Rick?
Who pushed Rick on the stairs?
Spirit.
Interesting, huh? You could hear the coming through the box. And who's the George they're talking about?
That is one of the people that was one of the original owners of the house, of the William Heath Davis house. And that's who they try and contact all the time.
Clear. That was probably, though, you know, he wasn't much of a conversationalist.
No. But
it was pretty clear.
Yeah, spirits, you know, that's that was pretty good. There's another one, too, that happened there. I think you guys have that one.
Well, there's another one here where people are trying to pry a gate open or something.
Yeah.
So tell us about this one.
Well, we were sitting there. Brandy and I were sitting on the floor, and the other girls were sitting across from us. And the thing starts talking, saying, beware, beware. And one of the girls gets up and looks outside. And I see her go outside, and then you hear what this thing is talking about. And I hear the girl holler. So I go outside, and you can hear what it says on the thing. It's actually trying to warn us about these three people out there.
All right, let's listen in on this one.
Did you say beware?
outside men.
Men. Yes.
There are not nice men.
I call police.
I did, but they come out and they're gone.
Waste.
It was literally trying to carry on a conversation, wasn't it?
Yeah, and when we went out there were these three men. They were very drunk, which I think is why it says waste.
Yeah.
But what that says, for anybody who couldn't hear it clearly, it says, beware, men outside waste. And when we got out there, these three guys were trying to pry open this, you know, they're real high wrought iron fences. It's a very ornate place down there. It's a historical building. And they're trying to push it out there, and the girls tell them they can't come in. And then I walked over, and I told them they couldn't come in, and they said, we're coming in, and I was a little more forceful, and they got a little more forceful, and I got a little more forceful than them, and finally they left. But, I mean, it was so weird that it was exactly, beware men outside, you know, waste. You know, so it was like it was trying to tell us.
The spirit sounds very benevolent.
Yeah, it does. In that building, it's the girls down there get a ton of EVPs in that building. And, I mean, it's not a scary place. I mean, I was just down there the other day, and I heard a giggle in one of the rooms. So it's very interesting.
Have you ever come across, though, something that you could consider to be evil?
Oh, good Lord, yes, I have. And it actually happened here in my own apartment.
What happened?
I was writing a script, it's weird, about the battle between good and evil. And I don't know if there's a correlation to this, because I got up just after I wrote this part where a policeman who's been captured by demons is told he can, you know, if he accepts Satan, they'll spare him. And he sticks a crucifix in the demon's face and says, sorry, buddy. Well, I get up to go get something to drink. It's like 2 a.m. And as I go through here, you walk through my living room. There's my dining room on the left and my kitchen on the left. And there's one of the cut-throughs, you know, so you can put food through. And I have a microwave in there with a clock on it, so I can see the light in there. And as I came around, something moved in the dark in front of me down towards the ground. I immediately thought it was a burglar because I had the lights off. Right? So I throw my fists up to defend myself. I mean, what else are you going to do? And it goes up, and I can see the head is backlit coming from the lighter kitchen. And it goes up, and it goes up, and I can see the shoulders, the arms, everything else, all backlit. And then as it's going up, the light on the microwave goes out, which tells me there's something between me and the light, you know, because I can't see the light anymore. And it goes up, and I could just feel like waves of energy coming towards me. And all I could feel was that it was trying to intimidate me. And frankly, it was doing a pretty good job, but I wasn't going to give in to it. So I just stood there for maybe 15 to 20 seconds. And finally, I jumped off to one side, hit the light, and it was gone. But, I mean, I couldn't have mistaken what it was. I mean, I looked at it for like 15 seconds. I could clearly see the outline. I could clearly see that the light was blocked on the microwave. And I just always wondered if what I wrote made something mad.
It's like writing is almost as bad as a Ouija board if you're in the wrong spot.
Well, I mean, it happened, I mean, within minutes after I wrote that scene.
Hmm.
I've always wondered about that.
Or maybe it wanted you to change the scene. Who knows?
Well, I didn't, and I'm not going to.
Good. Good. Well, speaking of Ouija boards, have you used one?
I absolutely have not.
That's smart.
And I suggest nobody else does either.
Why does it do what it does?
Well, you know, what people seem to feel is that you open actually, you know, a portal to the other side when you're asking things to come. It's just like if you ask God to send an angel to help you, sometimes that happens. Sometimes people say, you know, Satan, I'll do this for you if you do this for me, and it happens, you know. Sometimes you ask for a spirit to come through, and you open a portal, and the one that you wanted to come through brought friends with them that you don't want, you know. So you have to be very careful with that. I mean, the Ouija board is known as what started the boy in The Exorcist.
That's right.
You know.
Baltimore kid.
Fantastic story. I mean, the true story is just as good as the movie.
Well, you know, it got even better because when they ended up going to St. Louis to exorcise him,
mm-hmm.
Afterwards, one of the priests involved who died several years ago, did not want to be interviewed by the media in St. Louis. He just did not. And then the hospital, as they closed wings down, and especially the room where this exorcist was being done, sold off some of the furniture, and people reported feeling haunted from the furniture that they bought.
Well, there's a lot of different TV shows, like John Zaffis has a show on called Haunted Collector.
Yeah.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures now has one about haunted items. And there's a lot of people, you know, the American Indians, you know, a lot of people have always believed that things can attach to things that you find hold dear or that you really want to keep. You know, so, I'm not one to say it isn't, because, you know, I believe in there's all kinds of things that can happen. So, it's a Ouija board. No. Rick, no.
Stay away. No. Hey, for people who want to read or subscribe to the magazine, what do they do?
Well, the magazine is totally free.
Perfect.
It's online at hghmag.com, and that's actually short for Hollywood Ghost Hunter Magazine. It's easy to remember.
As opposed to the hormone, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if you see our group and you see the RA is 6'5 and 320.
You would think you are on HGH or something.
I mean, we're all big. You know, some people say we go into places and the ghosts get scared. But, you know, we do have a new writer I think you know about. Which I'm really happy that I have him, because it's actually your senior producer, Tom Danheiser.
Tom is very good.
Yeah, he just wrote a great article for the last
He is strangely a surprisingly good writer.
I got it. I was all ready to edit and everything else, and I just called him back. I said, I love it. It's going in.
And he has fun doing this.
I actually also interviewed a guy. It was really strange to have George Norrie call my house, and I got to interview him.
That I had a great time. I think that was our first or second issue that you
that
put
was
up.
The second issue.
Second one.
And all the articles are up in the archive. There's Zach Bagans was the first one, Aaron Ryder. Aaron Ryder was from Destination Truth and Chasing UFOs.
She's in the edition that I'm in.
Yeah. And what was funny about her is, like I said, you get to beat people more than you knew. And she's a very pretty girl, very athletic, very smart. And I asked her, I said, so were you like an athlete or anything? She goes, played field hockey. I said, were you any good? She goes, well, I was All-American. I was like, oh. And I said, was your team any good? She goes, well, we won the national championship. I was like, oh.
That's pretty good.
I said, were you always into this? She goes, no, I used to be a producer. I said, well, did you produce anything I've ever heard of? And she goes, well, I helped produce the opening ceremonies for the Olympics. And I was like, I just took my resume and tore it up and threw it away, burned it, didn't want anybody to ever look at it again. It was like, but I mean, that's what I say. The nice thing about the magazine is you learn so many great things about people, you know.
And it's very well done.
Well, thank you very much.
It's very well done.
Thank you very much.
Where, in your career as a ghost hunter, what has been the weirdest place you've ever been?
Well, I'd have to say that's a tie. There's one up here in the Hollywood Hills called the Omen House. And it's not like O-M-E-N, it's O-M-A-N. It's named after the owner, David Omen. And his house is right down the street, maybe 75 yards away from where the Manson family killed Sharon Tate.
Oh, yeah.
And all those people. And he was building his house when they were bulldozing that house. And a lot of people think that maybe the energy goes to a different, more hospitable place when you knock down a building. And I've been up to his place, and if... you know, on HollywoodGhostHunters.com, if you go on there on evidence and look in Hallway 1 and Hallway 2, you'll see a couple things and you just go, what? You know, they're not scary, but you just look at them and go, what was that? You know, he has a very bizarre place. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. The other one that was so weird was Sloss Furnaces in Alabama, in Birmingham, Alabama.
That sounds scary.
That is scary, and it is probably the most haunted place I've ever been. It's actually the first place I was ever touched by a spirit. And I didn't react like you would think. There were three actors that were with us. They were guests. And we were in this boiler room. And it was so hot. It was like 95 and 90% humidity. It was just boiling there. And there was one spot where they'd always seen an apparition. So I said, all right. And I turned on my night vision camera. Said, I'm going to check over here and look around, see if we can't catch something. And right then I felt like... the best way is saying somebody hit me with their shoulder in my left chest and then slid across the front of me, like somebody, you know, trying to shoulder you out of the way to get the elevator. And that kind of ticked me off because I had a camera up to my eye. I don't want somebody hitting the camera into my eyeball.
Hold on for a second, Rick. We're already at the top of the hour. We'll come back for more stories and phone calls. Folks, if you want to share your haunted stories or you just have a question for Rick, check in with us.